careful of what you say. Be careful in every way. Be careful of what you do. Big Brother is watching you. And all with our directives. Remember,
all right, fellas. And when you another installment of the Threats Against Government podcast. This is episode 22, I believe. With me, as always, is Carr.
Yeah, with you, as always, myself.
Is myself. Although, by the end of the episode, I may not be with myself anymore. Because we've got a very special guest, Professor De La Paz, with us, and this is going to be a conspiracy coven, we decided. Professor, how are you today?
Oh, I'm just doing fantastic. Thanks for having me, gentlemen.
I want to thank Sheldon Allman for our intro back in the 1970s. I think the album is called Songs for the 21st Century.
Really? Oh,
it's so good. That whole album is so good.
Just go ahead and call it now. Whatever that song was, that's a banger.
Yeah, that is such a good song. Oh, man, I am excited for this one because, Paz, you and I have known one another for like a year now, back and forth over the over the old internet. You are the superstar, probably, of our Discord, specifically our conspiracy Discord, because I like to consider you Alex Jones with less crazy, who's not a CIA shill. You seem to know everything about every conspiracy, and so we wanted to have you on to dissect maybe your brain about a couple conspiracies and about conspiracy culture as a whole, because conspiracy court is a very popular theme that we do. And I can't think of a man better to do it than the professor himself. So thank you for coming on.
I'll take that as the highest praise. That sounds right up my alley, exactly what I was aiming for.
Yeah.
So just before we get really into it, I don't know if I've interacted with you for as long as Bird has on the website, but one thing that's always stuck out is the feds or cryptids thing, and then there's always frequent references to Art Bell. So I assume you and I share some sort of past in growing up.
Yeah, so maybe more or less. A little bit of background just on the subject and how I got into it, maybe it'd be a good starting place then.
Sure.
I was super into the cryptid supernatural stuff as a wee lad, as a small child, and I kind of drifted away from it in my teens. And then my first real job as a functioning adult human being was overnight security.
Oh,
and as
man.
You guys may or may not know, that is basically the biggest demographic for overnight talk radio.
Right.
And because I was working overnight, I could never sleep with the sun up in my face. So I'd listen to this stuff all night, and then I'd go home and listen to it on YouTube all day.
And never sleep.
Well, near never, anyways.
So you say YouTube. You say you went home and watched it on YouTube. Did you get into it a little bit later than when Art Bell was regularly hosting?
I listened to it a very little bit way back in the day, but I didn't really start to get into it again till 2012. But, you know, with my schedule being what it was, I made up time fast.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for him to be like, and that's when I saw the Sasquatch bear.
Like, yeah. Well, you know, I'll have you know, the dog man is local to my area.
The dog man?
The dog man!
Screw the Sasquatch.
Wait, so what is the dog man?
The dog man.
That we're already getting into it.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go.
The dog man is one of the newer cryptids on the block. You know, he's kind of the new kid on the scene.
Well, that's because he's young. He's in dog years.
Yeah, he's just kind of the age of Sasquatch.
But, so it started with something called the Beast of Bray Road, not 15, 20 minutes out where I'm from.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Is there a movie about that?
I don't know about a movie.
Okay.
But it started in the early 90s when this newspaper reporter started getting reports of this really weird upright wolf thing that was like 7 feet tall, roaming around in farm fields and back roads out around where I live now.
It was Carr.
Yeah, it might have been me.
It was just Carr.
Well, I mean,
was he listening to Coast to Coast on handheld AM radio?
He was slamming a Red Bull trying to get into his car. Oh, shit.
And sightings have only escalated since then, and it's been seen down in Louisiana, it's been seen in France, all around the world at this point, and it's remarkably consistent with how it's described, just a freaking massive
This is up to the plane companies for not noticing when it buys a ticket.
Yeah, right, yeah. How's this thing scooting around?
It must have a big trench coat and an ID.
So, I think the most popular theory on that is probably that there's just more than one of them.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it's hard to know. I'd like to see how it fits in a car, frankly.
Well, it's like a regular dog, it sticks its head out the window. Yeah. Oh,
the
shit.
Dead giveaway.
Oh, man. I think cryptids are great. For everyone listening, we are having a conspiracy court at some point soon with Aaron, and I think Paz and Aaron are actually going to be co-conspiring a little bit, putting some cryptid lists together for us. I love cryptids. How many of the... Okay, let's take cryptids as a whole, right? Let's take the mainstream ones. Cryptids as a whole. What percentage of them do you actually think are legit?
Like... How many of them do I think are real shit, something out there?
Sure, like, if you take the whole pie, what percentage of that pie are you like, yeah, that is a definite?
Well, so, I'm going to get into the weeds again just a little bit on you. It depends exactly how you feel about the idea of tulpas, or thought-form creatures.
Okay.
So, there's this idea in the conspiracy supernatural sort of realm that you can kind of will things into existence.
Sure.
And you hear that crop up a lot with things like shadow people, or with Slenderman is the most known example of that. Like,
sure.
It started out as a joke, and then people's collective unconscious kind of willed it into existence.
Oh, okay. So I see. Yep. So it's not like, it's not that that cryptids physically, it's not that all cryptids physically exist. It's that... Sometimes them just existing in our minds is enough to be classified as a cryptid.
Well, yeah, that's one school of thought.
Okay.
If you accept the possibility that could be real or that is real, that opens the door for every cryptid to eventually be a real thing.
Right.
If you want to go by the idea that, it's probably some kind of biological animal, I'm not going to say more than two, maybe three even exist. And at that point, I'm not sure they'd even actually be a cryptid.
Whoa.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, uh-huh.
But even so, that number's not zero. So
no, it's not.
What a which two or which three? And oh, by the way, I want to go back. I think to be a little bit more specific, Bird and Paz, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think Bert, what Paz was saying is that a school of thought says that, you know, some sort of like willing process or thought process could actually manifest the energy of a cryptid into this universe, rather than, you know, you're just imagining it, sort of thing, right?
Okay.
Isn't that the deal, Paz?
I'm off the train.
That's exactly what I was driving at.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Big
see, I'm back
it's
not
like, out there.
It's not like you're just seeing it because you've thought about it. It's like there's some sort of...
psychic energy.
Right, yeah, something
oh,
like
yeah,
that.
Oh, yeah, I'm off the train.
Acting on mass to make it, yeah.
Yeah. It's like a... Yeah, I'm off the train on that one. Okay. All right. Well... Two or three.
And you were talking about that, because, Paz, you were on the damn woods not too long ago. You were talking about Slenderman a little bit, right?
Yeah, me and the boys over on the damn woods, we touched on a little bit of everything. And, you know, I could talk about just about anything. I'm sure it came up. I'd have to listen to it again.
I enjoyed that episode. I really like that show. They're great.
What would you say are the two or three?
The ones that I'm convinced there's
I'm going to put you on the spot here. Yeah.
To it.
Right.
So maybe I've just been memed into it.
Yes.
But I've done enough research on the dog man.
Yes.
That I think there might actually be something to it.
Hello!
You know, once you've listened to enough reports, enough interviews, or enough radio shows, you get to thinking, okay, with the consistency that it's being described as,
uh-huh.
with the length of some of the sightings, there's just too much going on here for it to be a bear. Because some of these people know what they saw, and whatever it wasn't a bear.
So I'm the dog man. And I'm in Wisconsin, right?
Yes.
What? And I'm in actually in your area in Wisconsin. What do I do? What is my do I have a gimmick? Do I go around eating people? Do I kind of or do I just want to be left alone? Like, what does the dog man do? picture us.
What is the shtick, if you will?
Yeah.
So the thing with that is, and this actually makes him extremely unique within the broader cryptid community.
He helps kids learn Spanish.
The dog man is one of, if not the only cryptid that will actively menace people who see it.
Oh, okay.
People will talk about
it. It won't go hiding in the fog like Sasquatch. It'll come out, come at you.
Yeah, it will stare at you with some mean energy or aura until you screw off, you know, until you leave the area.
Right.
Oh, and he mean
mugs
you.
There has been more than one occasion in which it has stolen prey from deer hunters.
Okay.
So hold on, but one of the consequences of that, of it being less skittish, wouldn't it be more prone to be filmed, like just statistically over big numbers kind of over the years?
Yeah, that would, I think, be a very natural conclusion to draw. And I think that's a great source for the skepticism to start to come in. One thing you notice with a lot of cryptids, though, and this plays into a whole bunch of other theories, is their effect on electrical equipment. So, you know, whether or not that's
very convenient.
Whether that's failure of the equipment due to something in their nature, that's people fat fingering it when they're trying to turn on their camera or something. You know, it's a great source of skepticism, but there are built-in theory reasons why you can't capture that sort of data.
I saw a raccoon last night.
And let's get Paws out of here.
I was walking the dog, right? And I see this raccoon. And I'm like, I gotta film that thing. We don't get raccoons around here in the urban jungle. And so I pick up the phone and I film it and I fat fingered it. And I kept fat fingering it. And the dog pulled the leash and I nearly dropped my phone and I never got to film the raccoon. So what I'm trying to say is,
there you go. Just built in the excuse for everyone who's ever seen Bigfoot.
That's right. I that's what I'm saying is, I believe that. I believe the fat finger theory.
You're going to start getting a lot more worried and about your health and not what your fingers are doing, too, naturally.
Right. Well, I'm glad that I didn't see the dog man, is what I'm saying.
Frankly, I am, too. I'm not sure if I'd ever even want to actually know the truth.
About the dog man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, if it's really this mean, if it's really something evil, I'm not sure if I even want to go beyond the story.
I would say, like, why don't you want to kind of go out there and, like, kill it, but if it can, like, control electricity with its mind,
So here's the deal, actually. Before I became unemployed, I'd actually been saving money and days off to take a couple nights and go roam around in the areas that had been seen.
Oh, you're a ballsy
definitely
man.
Not on foot, but if you know anything about deer hunting, you're familiar with the concept of shining, where you take a flashlight and just kind of swing it through the woods looking for stuff. And you know, I thought, hey, maybe I'll go shining cryptids one of these nights.
I'm gonna go shining some cryptids. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could get down with
it's,
that.
It's on the bucket list.
I occasionally, when Carr doesn't respond to my text message, have to go car shining.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Find him out in the woods.
Find him in the forests huffing a glue bottle. So, okay. Dogman. Boom, number one. Hit me with another one.
So, another one I think there just might be something to is Bigfoot, actually.
Yes!
Hold on. Now,
the
before we get too wild here, not in the way that we necessarily conceive of Bigfoot, just so much as there might be something out in the
world. Like Bigfoot is an alien who travels through.
Right. That's a thing that's out there. I'm not part of that. I think there's, you know, with how much of the Amazon still hasn't been mapped, how many of the national parks don't have any actual kind of mapping whatsoever, I think it is at least plausible that there's just anything out there in the woods that doesn't want to be seen like any other animal.
Is that really true that there's still so much topography we haven't gotten to?
Dude, there's the West.
Yeah, there is, bird.
Is there just not an industry for...
Dude, I mean, there's just nobody out there.
There's no one there, so it doesn't matter.
So just to give you an idea, bird... Colorado, where I used to live, the entire state's population is about 5 million people. And now I'm in Dallas-Fort Worth. The Metroplex down here is 7 million. So there's, across that entire state, is two-thirds of the population of the Metroplex.
Oh, okay. And I'm sure most
Colorado
of that,
is one of the more populated ones.
And I'm sure most of that is centered around a few cities.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So we're talking
probably less than a million west of the Front Range. Like,
right.
There's just nobody there.
There's no reason for people to map it out unless they're like small independent.
In fact, so you remember I used to work up there in civil engineering, and our survey department kind of keyed me in on this deal. Paz, you may have heard of this, and I can't remember if I'm getting the names right, but I think it was called the King's Party. And there was a group that was hired to survey a bunch of the areas out west. And the guy's name was Kings, and he took a survey team out there, and basically it didn't take him too long. So you would have to go and climb up these cold ass mountains back in the 1800s, and like, you know, your chances of survival weren't great. And it didn't take him too long to figure out that nobody could really check his work. So he would just kind of like rough in a bunch of shit in terms of topo and I guess, you know, boundaries and features and and would just come back, and you know, they would go chill in the saloon for a while and then come back, take the paycheck, and nobody could ever check their work. So there's a bunch of you'll still run into surveys in Colorado and a bunch of those places that are based on just completely bogus information.
And
it's legit, like, legal recorded documents, and you have to go and fix them.
That thickens the plot.
Yeah,
and it's not just Colorado. Even here in the Midwest, where you'd think it's a little bit more tightly packed and maybe better developed than some of the Wild West states, I grew up over on the other side of the state from where I am now, and even when I go back to visit my family, you still can't use Google Maps in a lot of the areas over there because there's so many valleys, so much cell interference, and you've got nothing other than the county roads you already know.
That's fucked up. That would freak me out.
Yeah,
that's
crazy.
I grew up there. I know where I'm going, but for a stranger, I'm sure it's incredibly daunting.
Jesus.
When you leave, you know, when I drove across moving to Colorado from the East Coast, man, you realize how empty most of the country is.
Right.
It's Jesus. Crazy.
So then, if Bigfoot isn't what we all think Bigfoot is, Paz, what is Bigfoot? Does he still have big feet?
Well, you know, now you're asking a whole lot of questions I don't know, because I think a lot of the supposed prints that have been taken, a lot of the pictures you've seen, almost all of them are hoaxes. So, you know, I think it's probably just some kind of a shy ape bear thing.
Ape bear.
A man bear pig.
Yeah, yeah, man bear pig,
if you will.
I almost like shy ape bear thing as a cryptid.
Well, no, C-Car, that was the original title, and then they had to change it. It just didn't roll off the tongue.
Yeah, Bigfoot.
Shy ape bear man.
Shy ape bear.
Shy ape bear man.
Doesn't roll off the tongue the same way, does it?
Yeah, no.
It doesn't. Oh, shit.
So, where if you at least partially buy into or completely buy into the theory of Bigfoot, whatever it may be, do you think it's a phenomenon that's solely in North America, or do you think that there's any possible linkage to the one in the Himalayas,
the Yeti or whatever?
Yeah. Like, are there any other manifestations of this that around the world, do you believe, or is this a primarily North American phenomenon?
So, I think a lot of it probably has to do with culture and obviously the anthropological history of regions, kind of what creatures did you come up with. So I think that there's either, yes, definitely some sort of cultural link thousands of years back, like there's a reason different cultures think this thing is in their area, or maybe if it's a biological phenomenon, then yeah, obviously there's something living in the woods nearby you. Or finally, if you want to loop it back to thought form theory, then obviously, yes, because you put it there with your head.
Right.
Does that make sense? You see what I'm driving at there?
Yeah. No, I definitely do. I guess what I was more specifically asking was, do you think that there is a biological link? If you or me or the listener were to accept that Bigfoot is real and that Yeti was real, are those two biologically linked? Or is there any evidence to support that? I mean, they certainly seem pretty similar in a lot of ways.
The Yeti.
So, as we know, there's absolutely no evidence to support anything, unfortunately.
Oh, shit.
Right.
You can draw a lot of facts and conclusions together, you know. With a logical proof and enough meth, you can make anything fit. But I think that if the given is that it's a biological creature, then the next given must be, yes, they had a common ancestor.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with people jumping against people who believe in cryptids or some of these quote-unquote wilder beings is that there's some insane shit that has lived on this earth. Like, there is insane shit that lived on this earth. Like, Carcharodon, Megalodon, go look at that shit.
What the fuck did you just say?
Absolutely. You know? Nailed it right there, Car. There's Tyrannosaurus Rex. Weird stuff we just can't explain.
Yeah, and like that stuff exists.
You kind of broke up there, and it sounded like you said Tarantula Rex.
Yeah.
Oh, well, my God, no! Kind of
not a chance. No, I'm pulling out. Tarantula Rex.
Yeah, so like to throw anybody that entertains the idea of Bigfoot or Sasquatch or Yeti under the bus, you know, when really its existence wouldn't really be that insane at all. Like it would just be like a bigger form of something that already does exist here. Is kind of like, that's kind of crazy to me, you know?
It's one of those things like, like I think we were talking maybe last episode or two episodes ago. Oh, it was with Mance, that if the Earth was flat, it wouldn't change my life at all. Well, yeah. if Bigfoot existed, it wouldn't really change anything. Yeah. At least in my life, it wouldn't change a thing.
No, my day to day would not be affected at all.
It would be kind of cool, I guess, but
yeah, hell yeah, that'd be sweet.
Yeah. Oh, Bigfoot, cool, nice. Can I get my tax money back?
I think if a lot of actual conspiracies proper played out in reality, the world would be a lot different for all of us. But cryptozoology, that's just a fun theory.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
that only affects people living in the regions.
Right. Well, I guess unless you have dogmen who control electricity with their mind, at that point, we have to go to war.
You know, we all have nightmares, right?
Yeah, I guess.
On the other hand, though, maybe that's the future of renewable energy right there, too, huh?
Dog harnessing dogman?
Yeah, well, we got to resurrect that. We got to resurrect the Tyrantula Rex. Yeah. That's a lot of power.
Yeah, that's a lot of power.
What do you car? Can I throw something at you? Let's make a cryptid right now. Let's do it right now. So when you think of Tyrantula Rex, I think there's only one way that it can look. But what do you think?
Big spider rather than like spidery. Yeah, that's the way that I was going with it.
Ow. I'm thinking it's a T-Rex's head and like tarantula arms.
Oh, God, that's horrifying.
Yeah, Paz, what do you think?
I think that in every nightmare I've ever had about that kind of thing, it's just a giant spider.
Damn it.
But with incredibly, not actual human eyes, but very humanized eyes. And that, like, you can see the intelligence.
You can see its, because you can see its soul.
Spiders are supposedly extremely intelligent.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got, all right. We're going with my design. That's it.
You're all fired.
I've been pointing out, Bird, if you will it hard enough, it will become real.
Come on, let's will it together.
No.
You got a hard pass from me there. I am the spiders.
All right, give me number three, Paz.
Number three?
Yeah, you said there were three.
If I had to pick another one, I'm going with the Thunderbird.
Yes!
Are you familiar with the idea of the Thunderbird?
Yes! Actually not.
Oh, I love the Thunderbirds.
So, this one's been cited all across the country. I'm most familiar with the stories out of Pennsylvania, and I think that's where it's kind of cited the most. And the idea is it's just this massive freaking bird that's big enough to, like, carry off small children and dogs and whatnot.
Okay.
And the idea is that if it flaps its wings hard enough, it will actually, like, stir whole trees.
Oh,
and that's
really
kind of where the name comes from, because its noise it makes is so loud, you could mistake it for thunder, and that's kind of the idea there.
I think it's like an Algonquin, what do you call that? Like folklore. It's like Native American folklore. That one, I love that one because it's great. It's just great. Just the idea that there's just this.
Because you're a bird?
No. Funny enough, I hate birds. I really hate birds a lot. And the only reason why I like the Thunderbird.
You are hearing this message because you are subject to arrest for violation of DMCA Title 3, Section 117. Your internet service provider or cell phone carrier reporting your illegal activities following a pattern of repeated misbehavior.
I think I'm broadcasting. Hey, this is Rollo McFlugel. Me llamo es Rollo McFlugel. I just wanted to get on the radio waves and the airwaves, and I hope I'm not interrupting anything important, but I just wanted to let everyone know that you should go check out libertymugs.com and go buy some mugs there. They're great libertarian-themed mugs. I know that sounds shocking, but yeah, they're pretty sweet, and you should buy a bunch, and you can even buy them with Bitcoin. So, I don't know who's going to hear this message, but please go to libertymugs.com. All right, continue enjoying whatever you were doing. Goodbye.
All right, testing.
Okay, yes.
You guys hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, I think whatever the issue was, I can hear you guys talking again.
Cool.
Cool.
Okay, fantastic. Where were we?
So the feds just shut us down.
I love doing conspiracy course because virtually every single blip in the audio you can blame on the feds.
You can. Yeah, right. Especially this one.
Bird was about to talk about the Thunderbird, I think.
The feds just shut us down because I'm about to lay it all on the line about the Thunderbird. The reason why I like the Thunderbird...
Well, you know, those cryptids got to protect each other.
Yeah, right.
That could be cryptids. Yeah, that's true.
Ooh, we're going to go into the lizard man. the reason why I like the Thunderbird is because the Thunderbird is just the idea that we wouldn't have been able to find a fucking 30-foot-long bird that kidnaps children. Is it really symbolizes the true spirit of the cryptid community. I love it. I love it.
Well, that was, I mean, there are some pretty big birds. Like, wasn't one of the theories for Mothman, wasn't it something like the sand crane or something like that, which it has, can have a wingspan of 7 or 8 feet. I mean, it's not as big as the Thunderbird is supposedly.
Well, yes, that was absolutely a theory. But if we want to be real, Mothman is definitely an interdimensional traveler. Stop, I 100% buy the idea that it's a harbinger of vibes.
What do you mean? What does that mean?
All right, here we go. All right.
So,
lay it on.
Do you know the story of the Mothman?
Do you know the story of the Mothman? No, I don't.
Let me tell you the tale of my people.
This is like a real bird. This is a good one. This is East Coast too. This is kind of in our
This area. Is. I just imagine that I'm at a table and in like an FBI interrogation, and I'm the criminal, and I'm sitting down, and Paz comes in and adjusts his tie, puts his hands on the table, and goes, "Have you heard the story of the Mothman?"
and you just have a flashback. This is 20 years in the future. You have a flashback.
It's like the usual suspects. all right, tell me about the interdimensional Mothman.
Yeah.
Tell me about this fucking interdimensional Mothman, you maniac.
So, the idea or the story, the lore behind Mothman was out in West Virginia.
Uh-huh.
People, supposedly reputable people, back in the day were seeing sightings of this weird creature with giant wings and almost no neck whatsoever. And the name of it wasn't even the Mothman at first.
That's Why kind is of the that name so that funny? Pause, I have to stop you.
Go ahead, take your time, man. Collect your wits. Because your mind is about to get blown again anyway, so...
He's got wings and almost no neck.
I know, I love that detail.
That's like...
It's like... It's like you would see, it's like that's the thing you would notice, like some huge like interdimensional thing comes out and you're like, "Honey, did you see that? That thing didn't have a neck."
I bet you'd be a great football player, honey.
God, where was that thing's neck?
That thing, you'd expect that kind of a thing to have a very long neck, but really no neck at all.
All right.
Holy Christ. Okay, my mind's there's an ice cream truck outside again, by the way. I'm sorry. I'm losing it. I'm going interdimensional.
This thing first actually started around a closed up, I believe it was TNT manufacturing plant. It was a chemical or explosives plant, a munitions plant that operated in the area.
Sure.
And finally, people started seeing it near a bridge. And later, as it not too much later, you know, almost immediately after the sighting stopped, the bridge collapsed. And the idea that got spun up in the UFO community after that was that it was some sort of harbinger of evil or some kind of watcher of violence. And what I think gives that theory just a little bit more credibility is now not too far back, in the beginning of 2017, sightings started cropping up in South Chicagoland.
Oh, really?
And coincidentally, these sightings were also spiking at times when the gang violence in Chicago is up.
And did they all confirm the lack of a neck?
If you haven't read or seen the Mothman Prophecies, you should give it one level-headed shake before you start laughing at it.
What fascinating. Okay, what is that?
It's just the movie about it.
Is that the movie?
Yeah.
Yes, but the book specifically was written by a very well-regarded UFO researcher who went down there and spent time in, I believe it's Mount Pleasant, West Virginia, where the sightings had all happened.
Well, that's rather unpleasant.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, no, that stuff's pretty creepy.
The reason I call Mothman interdimensional was that was the theory of the UFO researcher who went after it. He was one of the people who really bought into the ultra-terrestrial theory of aliens.
So what traits would something have where it would lead a cryptid or ufologist or whatever to
not having a neck,
believe it to be interdimensional?
No neck.
So a lot of what crops up with that kind of thing is it's an easy explanation when you can't have any real physical evidence, and that's a cop-out a lot of New Age type people use for it.
Those fuckers.
But, what'll happen is in areas you'll see where you'll have a lot of UFO sightings, you'll also have a lot of other things appearing, which has led some researchers to think that maybe they're all just a manifestation of something else that's usually outside of our visible spectrum. You know, it's either at a higher or a lower energy, I don't know, vibration. I'm not an engineer. I don't know these terms. I'm not a physicist. But the idea is that it's somewhere, it exists somewhere on the spectrum that we can't see or perceive it ordinarily, except in the right conditions or at the right times of year. And it manifests in all these different shapes because different people perceive things differently, I guess.
Well, yeah, and I mean, that theory is, see, that's the sort of thing that makes the most sense to me, because like if you take the human form, right? We're born with five senses. That's what we have. And if you were to take another being on this earth, I mean, there are beings that are born without sight, right? And they would have absolutely no idea what you're saying when you know you're saying, oh, I can physically, you know, I can perceive, you know, the texture, the color, the location of all these objects around me and stuff like that. It's like, what if you were just born with another sense? You know,
you think about other creatures using echolocation or other creatures having access to infrared vision.
Right.
And it starts to think, well, what if we really can't just can't perceive this stuff except for whenever something in the environment allows us to shift that consciousness just a little bit more. And that's also these people's go-to explanation for why you see this sort of stuff if someone were to, you know, do illegal drugs and go on a trip.
Allegedly. Nobody's done that.
Yes, allegedly. I would never do drugs.
Ever. Nobody on this podcast has done that.
What do you? I would.
You fucking miss it, Bert. That's the most intriguing aspect to me. And the creepiest aspect of it is that if we were born without sight, it doesn't mean that stuff isn't real to be perceived, you know. And if we have a sixth sense or a seven, or if there were a sixth or seventh sense, and there's shit going on around us that we just are not privy to, and that's crazy.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of other things that would, you know, very tangentially support these ideas. When you think about all the weird body electricity that people who suffer from cerebral palsy have, you know, there's instances of the quote unquote electric body shutting off streetlights as you drive under them.
Hold on. I've not heard this.
No?
No.
So that's not something I know too much about myself. I've only heard it at a glance. But the idea is that people with, I guess the idea, way to put it, is slightly bad wiring in just the way their body is, the way they're set up, is that some people actually have this phenomenon where streetlights or lights or their phone or things will just go off on them at random.
Huh.
And like I said, I'm not too familiar with it myself, but I could link you guys sources sometimes where these people are actually being interviewed and talking about their experiences.
I'm so deep in the rabbit hole.
My ex supervisor at my last job actually had this problem where at certain times, this is going to sound weird to phrase, but at certain times of the month, he'd be walking by or driving by streetlights and they'd kind of go out as he was passing underneath them. So
weird.
Take it for what you will. It's anecdotal, but it's supposedly a real phenomenon.
Jesus. I'm trying to unpack that in a way that could make sense. God.
I mean, our bodies are in fact conductors of electricity.
Yeah.
Right? We just know from the idea of being static shock that there's something at the very, I guess, normie end of it, you know. There's real science there. So just how far does that carry? I think that's the question that's being disputed with theories like that.
Carr, if you have any more questions about this, ask them, because I want to move on to a very juicy topic.
No, we can move on. Okay. I'm ready.
Paz is, you know, Paz is really good at entertaining conspiracy theories and almost blurring the line in between like what he believes and what he doesn't, because he's so good at representing it. But there is one conspiracy theory that he believes that he probably wouldn't, I don't even know if he'd call it a conspiracy theory because he believes it that much. And he's convinced me over and over again to try and read books on the subject and such, and it's really interesting. So I want to introduce the topic to people who haven't heard of it for our listeners. Paz, tell us about the Giants.
Oh, this one is just absolutely wild, and I like it because there's at least just a little seed of plausibility.
Well, you believe it.
And the idea is that at some point in our very distant past, there were tribes or a ruling class of just massive. We're talking like anywhere from 7.5 to like 10 feet tall. I guess the idea might be near human or proto human race living and interacting with us. And these people had a build to match their height. You know, they weren't skinny like a lot of the NBA players you see. They were just massive and freaking built.
Like Andre the Giant.
And that's kind of the beginning angle of it.
Yeah.
And the conspiracy angle that comes in is this, is that they were incredibly prevalent here in North America. And at some point in the mid-1800s, until roughly about the time of the New Deal or so, while we Americans were busy industrializing this nation and building stuff just all over, these artifacts of them were being discovered and pulled out of burial sites and Indian mounds, and they were being bought up by the Smithsonian. And at some point, the Smithsonian, quote-unquote, accidentally just lost all of them.
I've never heard that part of the theory. Okay, this is getting spicy.
And you can actually pause. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you can actually go back. I feel like I've done this, but I feel like you never know on the internet if something's been edited or whatever. But you can go back and look at archives of old newspapers, and they report on them. Like back, you know, 150 years ago.
What are you talking? Oh, my God. Yes. What do you mean?
Yes. And Bird, this is why I keep recommending that book to you.
Okay.
Because they talked to Native American elders, and they did all the actual legwork of vetting these cases themselves.
Okay.
And before we get too deep, there are definitely fakes out there. There was a competition ran in the early 2000-aughts, like 04, 03 or so.
Okay.
And that's where a lot of those fakes come from, is that Photoshop contest.
But there are legit newspaper clippings from the 1800s, where they're like, we found in this Native American burial ground this odd thing.
That's my understanding, yeah.
Yeah, but not even like just this odd thing. They were finding actual human skeletons.
Oh, okay.
And then examined by local doctors. And
okay.
Stuff. And they were finding giant axes buried with them.
Oh my God, that's so fucking cool. That's so cool. I thought you were going to buy artifacts. I thought you were going to be like, oh, and this is how they discovered like fiber optic technology. No, this is just like giant weaponry and armor and shit.
Well, right. Like pearls too, especially. A lot of times they're found with pearl jewelry.
Oh.
If you buy the accounts. And like we were getting to, the conspiracy angle is that the Smithsonian covered it up. Because at the time all this was happening was also a time in our history in which the Smithsonian was extremely heavily pushing the idea of evolution.
Okay.
We didn't really have a public school system yet, and we didn't really have the infrastructure for it to just be taught to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So proponents of this theory think that the Smithsonian was buying all these artifacts and was doing whatever they could to hush it up, because the theory of evolution was still in its infancy and hadn't taken root as a theory yet.
Like Big Darwin? Like
big industry?
Big D.
He hasn't got his hooks into everyone yet.
Big evolution.
I think that could challenge their narrative.
You know, you never think
evolved over time.
You never think about like big pharma. We have like the military. Big, I don't know. Big industries, right? You never think about big archaeology, and you know what I mean.
If you listen to a lot of people like David Hatcher Childress or Graham Hancock or
that's
Jimmy
my dude.
Vieira, there's a lot of people that can testify that there is definitely, maybe not an industrial complex about it, but there is an active movement to hush up dissent.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I feel like that happens, you know, in almost any
industry.
Well,
definitely.
You know, forces start to consolidate. They become gatekeepers and they don't want any challenges. Like, that's just a very natural you know, progression.
Graham Hancock is that doesn't happen
in archaeology or anthropology or something like that would be to disregard human nature.
Yeah, Graham Hancock leads a really convincing case for exactly that. I think is he pyramids?
He does a lot of the megalithic sites.
Yes.
Yeah. Tepe, like, the pyramids.
Fingerprints of the Gods. Is that he wrote that, right?
No, isn't that Eric Von Daniken?
Yeah, that one was one of his early ones.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, yeah. I remember when he was on Coast in the 90s.
So.
Yeah, he's one of the OGs.
I remember.
We'll go back to the Giants. But what do you think, Paz? Like, what do you think would be the. What do you think would be the incentive to cover these things up? What do you think? Because there's always money. There's always a money trail, I think, and probably a reputation trail too. But what would you say?
You're saying here, what's the incentive to bury it?
Well, yeah, for archaeology specifically.
So I think with this specifically, a lot of it comes down to just the hubris of it. You know, what happened was. A couple of these really early officials, if you look at the history of the Smithsonian and do just even a little background on these people, they weren't truth seekers in any real sense of the imagination. They were absolutely people who got their credentials, had their theories, and then used these public institutions to tout their own line.
Mm.
And in an era where you didn't have the decentralization of communication that we have now,
mm-hmm.
it was that much easier for them to control a narrative and really fit it into what their own, I guess, dogma would dictate.
And then why? So okay, so that's covering it up back then. What is the purpose of maintaining the cover up?
Well, at this point, they've built their narrative.
Right. Yeah, they would be seen as frauds and go down in shame to some degree, and would probably lose their cushy book deals and positions and blah blah blah. Right.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, you got to keep the gag running. I mean, it seems a little innocuous, especially on this topic, because, no one's going to believe that anyways.
Right.
But at the same time, the dangerous thing about allowing even one dissenting thought is that once you've had one, the rest of them take seed.
Right.
Once you're complicit in one cover-up, there's always then a reason to participate in every cover-up.
Right. Okay. I see. Man.
Yeah, the Giant stuff is pretty crazy. I'll say that. I've looked into that. Quite a bit.
And Carr, you're like a secret genius about this stuff, because everything he said, have you heard of this? Have you heard it? You've been like, and that just, we need to like elucidate the people a little later on about what 22-year-old Carr was like.
Yeah. Something else, man.
Man, it's, creeps me out. It creeps me out. All right, let's get back to Giants. Who...
Yes.
There's, you know, the one that always cracks me up that you insist on, and I just find it funny. I don't know whether or not it's true, but I always find it funny, is, Kamehameha, the king of Hawaii.
Yeah, the king of the islands who unified Hawaii.
Yeah.
According to a lot of folklore and just a couple of actual paper reports, he was one of them. And he might have been at the weak end of the gene pool, and maybe not the sheer size of some of them, but a lot of reports had him decently over 7 foot with a build to match. And
right.
There are folklore stories of him just carrying boulders around
just
and
for
giant
fun.
Stones to build walls.
Well, that's cool that he was a working king.
Yeah, he was a poor man.
Yeah. Yeah. Who? Okay, that's one. That's that, and that's always a good one. I don't really know why, but I think it's because when you Google Kamehameha, I think he might be Kamehameha II or something like that. When you Google him, he just has like a silly, like a painting, and it's just a little silly smile, and it's like, yeah, but this dude is apparently 8 feet tall and could crush your head with a pinky. It's great. I love that.
So what evidence is there for him being that height? They didn't like recover his remains, right?
So the evidence there is unfortunately strictly anecdotal,
Damn. But
it's fairly widespread. Like I said, it's a matter of folklore from Hawaiian natives, and it's a matter that was reported at least one time. It was back in the day, you know, in the early 1800s when he was doing all this. It was fairly common knowledge that he was just massive.
I don't know, this is something I should probably have read the book for, but were the actual giants killed off, and then everything since has just been like, how would you say it? Do you know what I'm getting at? It's
like lineage. The actual giants were killed off, and then the smaller ones integrated into society? Is that
yeah. Like, are we, like, Is the lineage carrying on rather than actual full-blown giants surviving? Like, how long did they live? You know, I'm sure it's in the book.
This is where you get into a lot of the really fun and really speculative stuff of
Yes.
Because, okay, to go back to a trope here, we're also controlled by big archaeology. And we have no idea what the history.
We have to call it Big D. We got to call it Big D.
If you want another rabbit hole, I won't cover it right now, but research the giant mudslide that buried most of Europe. That was supposedly just like in the 1200s, 1300s.
Okay.
So we don't have any idea just what was going on a few thousand years ago, no matter what people try and tell us about what was going on.
Sure.
But the idea is that there were at least some full tribes of the giants still functioning 2,500-3,000 years ago.
Oh.
And the commonly accepted theory is that they did die off over time, and enough of them learned how to protect bloodlines enough that as their numbers shrank, they were still in and among segments of the population, and they became sort of a ruling class because they didn't have gunpowder yet. You couldn't kill a guy that big in single combat.
Yeah.
Okay. But legit giants, so real giants, you would say, well, the reports are maybe 2,000-3,000 years ago is when they kind of officially, you know, disappeared. But obviously the bloodline, you know, and interbreeding and such has carried on until like maybe Shaquille O'Neal.
Protected the bloodlines until up to like the 1700s-1800s is when they finally started dying off.
Oh, so there's really no giants left.
Well, like we said early in the discussion, we don't know what's in the Amazon, for instance.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, at this point, there's very few of them, if any, left.
So you think that the giant genealogy perhaps hasn't carried forward to today? Like maybe nobody is really carrying a significant amount?
I can't say for certain because you never really hear stories about it.
Okay.
And like I said, I'm just a hobbyist. I have not yet written a book on any of this.
Well, as far as this podcast is concerned, you're the foremost expert. So. Yeah.
Well, I like to think of myself that way, even if I'm not.
So
the bloodlines do seem been dead at this point.
So there's no giants today, basically. I always thought it was funny. I don't know, like I said, Shaquille O'Neal or Andre the Giant.
No one's found a living one. Unless, here's a really fun one, Bird. I don't know if you've heard this story, but the Giant of Kandahar.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Have not heard of that one.
You haven't heard of that?
Oh, no.
That one is freaky.
Oh man, Bird, do you want to tell this one or should I?
Okay, I'll tell it, and if I don't cut out for you, maybe you can correct me where I'm wrong. But in the mid-2000s, I believe in Afghanistan, there was a military patrol in the Valley of Kandahar, which is a very, very, very ancient area in central Afghanistan. And they had encountered, apparently, supposedly, and I don't know what the information or evidence is for this, apparently there's videos. I happen to think the videos are doctored, but I don't know. But they had apparently encountered and killed a between 8 to 9 foot tall, tan-skinned giant with burning red hair.
What?
In the Valley of Kandahar. And so it's called the Giant of Kandahar. And what's very interesting about this is you can get into theological theory about it. And a lot of people do that, and they connect it to the Nephilim, which if you know anything about the Old Testament, the Nephilim are a group of basically ancient peoples who were children of angels, and they existed probably in that exact same area before, you know, the big flood that would have killed all of them. So that's kind of the theological angle of it that I find really interesting, is that there's perhaps just this ancient tribe of giant fire-haired Nephilim who still exist, who survived the flood. It's fucking cool, dude.
Noah's flood?
Yeah, Noah's flood. Yeah. It's likely not true, and do you know what the evidence to support that was?
So, the Giant of Kandahar, as fun as that story is, that's actually, unfortunately, one of the less reputable stories in Giantology, because the man who kind of broke that on the conspiracy circuit is a well-known UFO book merchant.
Oh, okay.
The conspiracy circuit, I really like that.
It's a whole world, Carr. It's crazy.
What?
The whole conspiracy circuit. It's a whole world.
Go ahead. to the point you made, though, about the theological subtleties of the giant lore and the idea of them being an antediluvian race, I think does actually support a lot of that. Because if you do look at your Old Testament, all the tribes that were living in Israel before the tribes of Israel moved in were all being described as those giants. Jesus. So, if you want to stretch your plausibility with me, if you want to have fun with the stories, and if you want to enjoy this content, you should not stress your mind so much about whether or not it's real, but entertain the possible logical chains that would lead to those tribes being driven out of the Holy Land,
right,
to settling somewhere remote like Kandahar, and maintaining their bloodlines just long enough for one last one to be there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Just they had one chip on the table so they could still play, kind of deal. And aligning a couple maybe not so plausible events, but technically possible events to get them there, type deal.
Yes, and you know, we all know that's the entire. That's the story of your life when you're playing with conspiracy theory.
Because
everyone already goes into it thinking you're a crank, whether or not your chains of thought are consistent or not.
Yeah. But, I mean, to play devil's advocate, you know, the idea that I'm physically here, like, living in Fort Worth, you know, and if you went through my life and all of, like, the really kind of, like, oddball decisions that I made, you know, I don't know. That's kind of an odd deal. Like, that's a little bit off the wall. That, you know, it's not like I'm living in the North Pole or anything like that, but I'm just saying just the accumulation of really probably low percentage things
events
that have just routed my life in such a way. I don't know. It's certainly not like you wouldn't guess it at the outset.
And if I understand kind of where you're going with all this, I think I'd be inclined to agree. You know, it goes back to, again, what we were saying in the beginning. There's just so much weird and unexplainable stuff out there that you have to, even if you're not willing to believe any of it, you have to entertain it long enough to debunk it.
Or you could just have fun with it. I mean, I like to think of conspiracy theories, even if you don't like them, it's like pro wrestling. It's like, you know what you're watching is fake, but if you can just step aside for a second and pretend it's real, even if you don't believe it. This is just if you don't believe it. If you just step aside and pretend it's real, you can have so much fun and even probably question some things that you do know are real at the same time.
Yes, that's exactly right, Bird. And I am as much of a nutter as I'm sounding like here talking with you guys. I am extremely skeptical about almost all of this. I know all the stories. I have all the fun in the world with it. But at the end of the day, I don't rest my head believing more than probably, like, a high number, but like the 15-20%.
Just the dog man, really.
And if I can just add one more point to that line of thought, I think depending on what you're discussing, even what field of conspiracy thought you're discussing, the amount of willingness you have to believe it just as a baseline needs to change based from field to field.
True. That's true.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. So, like, I mean, for instance, like, the amount of skepticism I would approach, like, Bigfoot would be way different than Slenderman. Slenderman being something that I know, at least if I'm not choosing to believe in a manifestation type theory, like, I know that it's fake. You know, whereas Bigfoot is, you know, I don't know, in the grand scheme of things, like, you're telling me, like, a big ape might live in the Pacific Northwest? I don't know. I don't know if that's all that crazy.
A big ape living in the Pacific Northwest.
And so, if I can hijack your show here for just a moment, yes, gentlemen, absolutely, and get to the friends against government angle of it,
mm-hmm,
I'll say this. As much fun as cryptids are, and as implausible as they are, I think that we, as responsible citizens, actually have a duty to believe every anti-government conspiracy before we actively dismiss it.
Yes.
Yeah. Because the government has done so many shady things, they don't get the benefit of a doubt.
Nope. See?
And because we know they've been complicit in weird things, and because we know they've been complicit in cover-ups, I think the government, at least, and NGO massive actors like the military-industrial complex need to prove they didn't do something instead of just dismiss it.
Preach!
Yeah, I agree with that. Pause a lot. The only, I guess I would agree with an asterisk, and that is be wary because, you know, what is it called? PSYOPs are like a real thing. You know what I mean? Like if you look at the flat earth stuff, I'm not assuming incorrectly, but I mean, hasn't that been basically shown to be probably some sort of CIA derived deal?
Yeah.
And has it? Hmm.
I think I can't speak to the history
of the flat earth movement, but I can say that broadly speaking, especially, but not only in the UFO fields, you'll see so many ex-government, so many ex-military, so many ex-intelligence in it, propagating, and those people have the wildest theories. And I don't think that's coincidental.
Right.
You know, disinformation agents are real in our society, and their mere existence needs to make you question things and narratives and tropes even more than you already do.
Yeah, I'm fully on board about believing pretty much all the conspiracies that have to do with government, so long as I know the source that it's coming from. Because if the source that it's coming from is just like a grifter, like you like to use the term grifter, if it's coming from a grifter, I'm not interested. But if it's just a genuine conspiracy from, have you seen Vault 7? Like, or, have you seen what's in these vaults? Like, okay, I'm willing to pretty much entertain most theories and possibly believe them until proven innocent. I mean, I think the government that we're working with here has proven itself at least a few times to have done more nefarious things than you could probably imagine.
Yes, exactly. And that's the root of that angle of it. And I know I got a little soapboxy and up-tempo there, but I cannot stress that enough.
No, I believe it.
It's okay to get the benefit of a doubt of a lot of people, but the government does not get a benefit of a doubt.
I agree. I agree. Well, we do come off sounding like crackpots is the only problem. But then again, we run a podcast called the Friends Against Government Podcast.
The term conspiracy theorist was invented in CIA publications.
I know.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, that term does have a little bit of pull in that there didn't need to be a term that was invented by the CIA to describe the kind of people that would probably best fit that descriptor, if you know what I'm saying. If you follow.
Yeah, so if you want to transition just a little bit,
that comes
in with something you just mentioned.
Yeah.
I, as a fan of conspiracy theory, and I think most people who are as into it as I am, would classify the names, the content creators, if you will, of this sphere in kind of three broad categories.
Okay.
There's the actual crackpot true believers,
mm-hmm,
who honestly think all these things are real and happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're the people who write books because they think they got abducted.
Like someone like Carr, let's say.
Yes, absolutely.
If you didn't notice, Paz is going to basically pin each identity onto each one of us on the line right now.
Yes.
And then you have the disinfo agents.
That's me.
That I was talking about. People with a fishy background, people who are pushing a narrative.
That's me.
People who write a... Yes. Bird.
He I'm said yes.
You. I
yes.
know you're with the NSA.
That's right. This whole podcast is a psyop.
Oh,
that's
man.
Right.
Man,
I am.
I tell you what, that would make the timeline weird.
I'm here to ping my IP address. I fucking knew it.
I'm almost tempted to like turn to make a heel turn towards the government just to make the timeline weirder.
You gotta make it weird.
But then the third class,
yeah,
is the one that you referenced, and that's the grifters.
Yes,
and those are people who put out upwards of like 3-4 books a year,
mm-hmm,
and just milk every radio interview because they know there's people out there who will pay for it. Some of them might be innocent enough, like, oh, I'm telling these people stories to help them get through the night. And I think some of them are just chasing every dollar they can because they don't know what else to do with it.
Who
would be your examples of some of those? Pause.
So you want me to kind of name drop on people?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The grifters, anyway.
So I think a lot of the biggest names, especially in UFOs, are just total freaking grifters. One you might know specifically, Corey Good, and his whole UFO Academy.
Yep.
He is 1,000% just making it up.
Car. No, Jesus Christ, Car. Yep. Of course. I've heard of those names.
And I'd go one step further. Another huge name in UFOs that I think is just an absolute book merchant is Michael Sala. I wouldn't believe one thing that guy has to say.
What about... I think we talked about this once before, but I want to confirm. What about good old David Icke?
So, As a hero and an OG of the conspiracy community, I like to believe that he is just off his rocker.
Yes. So David, I
think that he tripped on. I think he tripped on too many things too hard, and part of it is just stuck as a shard in his psyche.
So David Icke gets the plus from you.
Yes, I think that he believes every word of it, whether or not anyone.
Yes.
But he used to come on Coast like a long time ago, right? Like I feel like I remember him from that like 2 decades.
He was a regular guest in the Art Bell hosted era.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. And I never remembered him sounding all that crazy. Like obviously it's fringe stuff, it's fringe information, but I never really remembered him sounding super crazy. And then I came back to him like 15 years later and I was like, what
is Well, you know this? What though, Carr? I have to say, I think he might have gotten crazier because Penn and Teller's Bullshit, they did an episode on conspiracy theory maybe in general, and they did interview David Icke. I believe I'm getting this right. And he's off.
Yeah. And I don't remember him being that off.
The royal family of England is lizards.
He does.
He is the lizard.
Well, so do I. Okay, but so do I. But
well, you know. Because Icke is right.
He is. On that, he is correct that most world leaders and Mark Zuckerberg are, in fact, lizards and or cyborgs. On that, he is correct. I will not. You can't change my mind.
Didn't he kind of go like anti-Semitic too? Like really?
No. That was that's the smear.
That's the disinfo. Anyway.
Yes, that's the smear.
That's him getting too close to the truth, man.
Mm-hmm. See. I. You know what? And maybe I sound like a crackpot here, but that term and most terms like it are often deployed. You know
absolutely.
What I mean? I don't have to explain that to you.
Information warfare at its fine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No.
Any sort of identity.
I feel like I've heard stuff out of his mouth where I'm like, what's going on here?
Well, I mean, maybe, but any sort of identity politics is often levied to kind of discredit someone, and you know, and they do it all. People do it all the time. Actors who would go against people like David Icke or Alex Jones, they call them anti-Semitic, they call them alt-right, they call them Nazis, whatever, just to discredit them, when I feel like more often than not they discredit themselves and it's not necessary, but you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. Alex Jones.
Alex Jones. So, he's a little bit of an interesting case, because yeah. I've kind of watched him, and I suppose more accurately, my own opinion on him evolve over time. Because you can still find on YouTube full shows and clips of his 90s public access call-in talk show.
He was normal.
And the way he talked then to where he's gotten to now. You know, once upon a time, he was calling out 9/11 as a false flag.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
That's common enough. A lot of people believe there's fishy stuff about it. What made him wild was he was one of the first people to talk about the direct energy weapon theory.
Right.
What is that?
That's with Judy, what's her name?
Something or other. It's Judy something or other.
That's
she's like a physicist or an engineer or something. And she, God's honest truth, thinks a satellite energy weapon brought down the Twin Towers.
And then, but also Bird, that's not even like half of it. That the other part is that there were like holograms involved and people were seeing the holograms.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I guess I was seeing a hologram.
Yeah.
Back to Alex Jones.
Oh, shit.
He went from shilling for things like that.
Uh-huh.
To now he's just totally sucking and chewing on the government fat.
Yeah. Do you think he's compromised? 39? Do you think he's compromised or that he's just compromised his own values?
I think that he is legitimately compromised by someone or something.
Mm.
Because if you look at the absurd growth and sprawl of his, he has a media empire. It is justified to call it that.
Yeah.
And to think about what he was saying in the beginning when he trotted that out to where he's at now,
mm-hmm.
and especially as cozy as he is with some people in power, I think that he might have transitioned from a guy who was just doing it for a job. Like, his own lawyer called him a method actor.
Ooh.
So I think he went from a grifter. I do think he's a disinfo agent now.
Oh, shit. Wow. Okay. Damn, that hurts. That hurts me to hear that.
Well, that doesn't make it any less entertaining.
It doesn't.
To the truth.
It doesn't. What about, I'm trying to name some other conspiracy theorists that I know. What about, do you know who Jim Mars is?
Yes. Is he one of the ones who just passed away recently?
Maybe. He was an old dude.
Yeah, I do. Him or one of the other big names that gets associated with him a lot passed away not too long ago.
Yeah, it was Jim Mars. It was last year.
What do you think about Jim Mars?
So, first of all, you know, Press F, he was great in the UFO community.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that Jim Mars was buying what he was selling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, he bought into his own bit. Because his theories never really truly evolved with time, and I think that's a good sign of a true believer.
Uh-huh, right.
You know, there were the window dressing adaptations, but the core of his thought never really, in my mind, seemed to change, and that would lend itself to being a true believer for me.
Hmm.
How about like, Whitley Strieber?
Who's that?
Okay.
Who's that?
So, oh my god, Bird.
Really? Bird?
He's been, not entirely, but almost entirely drummed out of the conspiracy community because he got outed as both a grifter and a crackpot.
Really?
Yeah. So, like, people now are kind of thinking that he's just totally off his rocker. And on top of that, he's really milking people for every penny and every appearance he does and every bit he does. And there's a lot of people who really aren't too happy with him anymore. And I can honestly say he's not my cup of tea either.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. I used to listen to Dreamland every now and then.
Yeah, that was his show, right?
Yeah. And I mean, you know, he's not my cup of tea, but whatever. You know, you're kind of slim pickings on a decent, like, a show with decent production value in the Fringe, you know, and so I would listen to it. Plus, he was associated with, didn't he have a show with Art Bell? That they were associated early, like in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, early on, while Strieber still had credibility,
yeah.
Art did a lot for his career.
Yeah, right. And I think that's probably the reason I gave him so much, you know, line.
If I can just throw you a recommendation, actually both of you and every listener, if you're looking for content from a source that's at least fairly trustworthy,
mm-hmm.
There's a gentleman by the name of Dave Schrader, and he did his own show for a long time, and then he got added as a weekend co-host to Coast to Coast AM.
Okay.
And then when Art Bell actually passed away, he took over main host responsibilities for Art's last show, Midnight in the Desert.
Yeah, okay.
And he is really, really good. So, Dave Schrader, great content.
I'll check him out, yeah. Awesome.
Man. I
don't know. Bird, what you got?
I'm a little mind blown here.
Yeah.
I've heard Alex Jones is a crackpot, that there's such a thing as a Tarantula Rex. I've heard Sasquatch is a... Is UT. It travels dimensions, man. God. Sasquatch's urinary tract.
Yeah. It's a lot of gristle to chew on.
It is. Man,
you know, obviously we're probably coming up against length here. I don't know what else you guys have in mind, but
I think I want to chew on some of
this stuff for hours. I really
I mean, I think we're coming up on length for this one, but I mean, I don't see why there wouldn't be another one.
There will be. But you know why there will be? Because Paz is going to pitch us on a conspiracy court, the Smiley Face Killer.
Oh, yes, I will. That's a very fun one.
That is a fun one. I don't still know very little about it, and I think it's very interesting and creepy. But until then, Paz, do you have any plugs? I know you're taking a little social media hiatus, but other than that, are you have any plugs for us?
So, for anyone who doesn't know,
mm-hmm.
I've directly appropriated for my screen name in most places, Professor De La Paz, straight out of the Heinlein novel, The Moon is a Harsh Mistress. My Twitter handle is @MinarchCookbook, because I am one of the few people in this audience or sphere that's not an actual anarchist. And I suppose that's about all I've got. It's my Twitter feed right now.
So @MinarchCookbook.
I was blogging for a while. It's inactive. So I'll be dropping links if that ever comes back online.
Oh, yeah.
But for now, it's just Twitter.
Do you have anything cooking?
So I do have a podcast project of my own brewing with a couple of guys.
Sweet.
Ooh.
We have our Twitter account up and running.
Ooh.
At the Gaslight Hour.
Yes.
And we're working on pre-recording for a few episodes.
Oh, I like the name.
No deadline. I don't want to tease you too much. We don't know when we're dropping, but be on the lookout for
it. Well, we'll put that in the plugs. Everybody go check that out. Carr, we said we were going to do it. We didn't do it. We did not organize our plug list.
Oh, goddamn. Okay, all right. I'll give it a shot, then you plug. You fill in the gap. So,
okay.
Go check out Rollo and Slappy at McFlugel.com. Their podcast is great. Free Man Beyond the Wall podcast with Mance Rayder. That's outstanding. He just had Ron Paul on.
Yes.
And I haven't listened to the episode yet, but I bet it's a doozy. The Peaceful Treason podcast. Those guys are great.
Yes.
Shit, man.
We got Dina Files, of course.
Dina Files. God damn,
I. And if you haven't listened
to show is so good.
And if you haven't listened to our last episode, please do. It's got Jeremiah Harding on it. I believe that was our last episode.
No. We had Anarchy Ball.
Oh, yes, two episodes ago, so then we'll plug Anarchy Ball, too. Two episodes ago, we had Jeremiah Harding. He's got shit going on up the wazoo. I couldn't even begin to list all of it.
Yeah,
he's got, like, 17 podcasts. And then, of course, as always, Anarchy Ball, one of the progenitors of this whole deal. And you know what? This time, I want you to follow someone new. I want you to follow at Todd Hagopian.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Give Todd some love. Give Todd a follow, because... you may be hearing from him very soon.
Maybe. Well, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, guys, just before we sign off, man, it's been super fun growing this thing. So if you do have an iTunes account, go in there, give us a review and a rating if you don't mind. And yeah, tell a friend. Pause, man. Thanks so much for coming on. This was a blast.
Yes. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was awesome. And I'll do it again anytime you guys want.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Hope so. All right, everybody. Peace.
Two hands on the wheel, guys.